I think Luke Melee is a creative player, but he's like 20 points short of being a regular major leaguer.
What Patreon reward level would I need to reach for you guys to eat pasta with it with mayo on it, like Justin Smoke? Be there a better way to remind the world that baseball needs no clock than to feature 18 hourglass-shaped color commentators?
Yes.
That's right.
There Stars are a million talents. Better ways. And welcome to episode number 60 of Artificial Turf Wars. If you want to pretend we're on the West Coast, hit pause and wait exactly 3 hours. I am your host, Greg Wisniewski, and I am joined tonight by Josh Howsam. Josh, how's it going?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm a bit grumbly tonight, but I'm sure that'll be readily apparent as the podcast continues. So we have quickly, it was a 4-3 week. We have Devin Travis and JP Howell to the DL. Good week from Josh Donaldson. The return of Russell Martin and Nelson Liriano. The suddenly totally different Luke Melee, which would be fun to talk about. We have your questions, and we have three do-overs. And honestly, I don't even know where to start with that. But where I want to start the podcast is with Patreon. We have a Patreon. It is www.patreon.com/turfpod. If you are interested in what Patreon's all about, it's a way for you to help us make the podcast better by pledging to donate a little bit every month. If a bunch of you do that, we can get some more cool bonuses and some improvements to the podcast. The folks who I would like to thank once again for being there for us already, a thank you to go out to Oscar Jorgen Sandholt, Tom Molly, Luke Porterfield, Dino Champlone, and Melissa Dean. And an extra big thank you to go out to Dave Church, Gideon Turk, and Colleen Evans. We appreciate all your contributions. Thanks for being our patrons. And we're going to do our best to put together a good show for you this week. All right. That business has been taken care of. Now we have the business of the Blue Jays. 4-3, Josh. But we're still not going to be able to discuss something.
No, I sort of teased it in my final thought at the end of the last podcast. We had a shot. Mm.
The Blue Jays came out a little bit flat against New York with, I guess we should talk about, for no particular reason, their incredible performance despite the inability to hit with anybody on second or third base.
Yeah. So we'll go back to the finishing off the sweep of the Cincinnati in a minute, but from the beginning of the New York series to the first game of Oakland, 0-34 with runners in scoring position, which is the longest streak in the history of the franchise.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not like the ball changes shape when there's a guy or the pitcher gets any better. And did they not have a really good time of it in the Cincinnati series?
Yeah, they were like 500 with runners in scoring position. And the baseball gods have come back to get them.
It's like, get you a plus one. Like, what is that? Did they get a hit with runners in scoring position last night or no?
No, they did not.
No, they were the whole game without one?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you chalk that up to. Like, have you ever been on a team that couldn't hit in the clutch?
I've just been on teams that couldn't hit. I've never been on teams that just like completely disappeared like that.
And that's what you would think. You would think it would reflect the fact that they literally could not hit. But did they not score 7 runs in one of the games against New York without a hit with runners in scoring position? That should be damn near impossible.
Well, they're hitting a lot of home runs. I mean, that's pretty much... You know, home runs are good, because if you hit a home run, you're in scoring position at the plate.
Precisely.
That's bad. I mean, the funny thing is, it didn't actually cost them either of the New York games. They got blown out in both of them. Mm-hmm. But, I guess you could say the second one, because we'll get to Jason Grilly later. But until that... it was 3-0, so if they'd cashed runners in scoring position, it might have been different pitchers coming in. But they lost the first one 12-2.
Yeah, you can hit all you want with runners in scoring position. It's 12-6. Oh, well.
Yeah, and then they won two of them.
Yeah. This is good times. I got a thank you from one of the Bird's Eye View guys for going 2-2. like I had some responsibility for that. But, you know, it's always nice to get a shout-out from a AL East opponents fan. So somewhere in all of that mess, we can go back to Cincinnati. Do you want to go to Cincinnati or do you want to go to poor Jason Gurley first? I left Jason Gurley off the list, by the way, hoping you'd forget about him.
There's no way I'd forget about that one. Well, you may as well talk about it since you just brought him up. Go for it.
4 solo home runs in 1 inning of work. I have never seen that. I remember watching, I think it was James Shields, get lit up for 4 home runs in like 4 1/3 innings of a start, and I thought he had had the worst day of his life. Jason Gurley don't got it.
Do you know how many relievers have pitched 1 inning and given up 4 home runs in that inning?
5.
3.
3.
And none of those 3 pitchers actually made it out of their inning. All 3 of them lasted 2/3 of an inning.
But not Jason Gurley.
No, he did. He got 2 outs.
Oh, they...
It went home run, 110 mile an hour line drive out, and then he struck out Aaron Judge. And then he gave up 3 solo bombs in a row.
Oh, wow. So, I don't want things to end badly for Jason Gurley. I don't want that to happen. But I do not, at this point, see any way things can end well.
He was starting to pitch a little better, too. But, man, that's bad. Here's the thing, the biggest thing for me about Gurley. If he's not better than your 5th best right-handed reliever, which he's not right now, he shouldn't be on the roster because that should be going to a guy who can eat multiple innings. So they're not having to, like in that game the other day, use Danny Barnes or Ryan Tepera in the 9th inning just to finish the game. Have a guy like a Mike Bolsinger or TJ House or whoever, Dominic Leone, who can go 2-3 innings and just gay to the end and save the other relievers.
And we see this all the time with other teams when we do, when the Jays do beat up on the starter or they get ahead late in a game, we see a guy come in and he's the, you know, one reliever we see. And then, you know, if it's in the middle of the series, surprising, he's not on the roster. Wasn't it Stevenson for the Mariners?
Yes.
Stevenson came in, did a bang-up job, and see you later. He was replaced by a guy named Stevens, which I just wanted to bring up because it was mind-blowing. It's like, did they spell his name wrong on the lineup card? No, that's a completely different guy. picked him out of the S reliever pile.
But anyway, every team should have that guy.
Yep.
And Blue Jays don't because they have Jason Gurley.
Yeah, and we, if I'm not mistaken, we were using Ryan Tepera that way.
Yeah, but he's earned, he's now the 7th inning guy.
He's proven to be far more valuable than that guy. I'm really starting to wonder, though. They put J.P. Howell on the DL with basic badness.
Shoulder tightness, officially.
With we don't want a DFA Eunice. Instead of doing something with Gurley.
Yeah, and then, well, they brought up Leone's for another injury that we'll get to in a second. But so now they at least have someone who can go multiple innings, but I think the writing's on the wall. Like, once Aaron Sanchez comes back, assuming there are no other pitcher injuries in that time, I think both of those guys, Howell and Gurley, just have to go.
Yeah.
They send Biagini to the minors to stay stretched out as a starter or something, but I think they'll put him back in the pen.
Yeah, because now, if you want to say you can put Biagini for a couple innings in the pen now, right? You've got him stretched out. If you don't,
and then Danny Barnes can be your guy that you use to finish off a game. I mean, you have enough relievers. You have Barnes, Tepera, Biagini, Osuna, Smith. Like, you know, there's enough guys there that you can get through enough games.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just don't see. And you got Aaron Loop for your lefty specialist. We're all good. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Except for Jason Gurley and J.P. Howell, who are looking for work, possibly. Thoughts on the Cincinnati series before we move to more orders of business?
It couldn't have gone better in the sense of I played with Joey Votto, so I'm obviously a big fan. He hit two bombs, but they got swept. It was perfect. Chase won all the games, and Votto went deep a couple times.
Yep. So individual success and team failure at exactly the right ratio. I was beginning to wonder if Cincinnati had any pitchers at all. Because I know, as much as the Jays did have a good May, they just wiped the floor with everybody who seemed to come into the game.
Okay, the Reds' opening day starter was Scott Feldman.
Yes. Yes, but I heard in the first game about Cincinnati's decent bullpen.
Yeah, but they couldn't get to their bullpen. Their good pitchers are their setup and their closers. And they couldn't get to them.
So, yeah. Why can't we have more of that? I don't know. We obviously can't have...
I mean, Raisel Iglesias, who is their closer, his ERA is under one.
But he's not coming into a game where you're behind.
Or at least he didn't.
Yeah. So, that made for a very satisfying 4-3 week. Sort of. It made for the satisfying start to a 4-3 week. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's the better way to put it. Considering how it started, it was a little disappointing the way it ended up.
And I hope that's not a metaphor for the Jays' entire season. So, Devin Travis, we got to talk about him getting hit on the wrist, which I thought is what we were going to talk about tonight, but...
Nope.
But no. He got hit so hard on the wrist, it aggravated his knee.
Yeah. Poor guy. I mean, so this is the same knee injury he's had... that he was causing the problems in the offseason and had him slow back at the beginning of the spring, knocked him out of the playoffs last year. So it was fine. He wasn't even icing it anymore, and it locked up on the plane to Oakland.
Sorry, I didn't hear that specific detail up till now.
Yeah, he tried to get up at the end of the flight, and it locked up on him, and he thought, oh, I'll just sleep it off and it'll be fine tomorrow. It's not fine. And he gave like a tear-filled injury. It's like, he's playing so well, and then so he has to go down again. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be short-term.
No, because as you were talking about bone bruise when the term bone bruise first came up, there's no real treatment for that. You can't speed up the healing of a bone bruise. It's going to heal when it heals. So that's really sad. Let's all have a sad moment. Okay. So, will it be the Ryan Goins, Darwin Barney platoon? Or do you think they're going to try and call somebody up from AAA?
Well, they went with Leone for at least the short term. I would not be surprised if they try to give someone a shot. Jason Leblebigian seems like a guy that they should go to. I mean, he plays second base, and he's... not on the 40 man, but they can create a spot there, DFA Grilly or Howell or someone, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can't roll with those guys. Both guy Barney and Going suck.
And someone was pointing out that this year Barney has actually been worse than Goins with the bat, which is remarkable in and of itself.
They've both been terrible. And the funny thing is, they've both also been bad defensively. Like, the thing that they're supposed to be great at, Goins has been awful. I mean, he's made a couple really nice plays, but his range at short has been really, really bad. Now he's back at second where he's better, but he has been not nearly what he was the last couple of years. And Barney, while his overall has been okay, he's still making some bad plays.
Yeah. I felt bad for him last night, actually, on that Frisbee grounder. Did you see that one?
No, I missed it, but I saw you tweet about it.
This is the second inning, and honestly, the pitch, it did bend like a Frisbee towards second base. He was moving towards first, and it skipped towards second somehow. I don't know how. And it was traveling so much towards center field that even Jose Bautista wasn't lined up right for it when he fielded it as an outfielder. He was still moving towards center field. I'm like, I don't understand the physics of that. Like, that never happens. But that's been the exception. There's been a few times where he's just not got to the ball or been handcuffed, and that's not what you're looking for.
No. So, yeah, I think that they probably going to have to give Lev Lubegian a shot. He's hitting so well, and they need some offense out of that position, especially with whatever they're getting out of left field right now.
Oh, let's not slag on Ezekiel Carrera this week. Okay, so we've gotten through the worst of it. I believe we get to Josh Donaldson comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah, that's definitely not the worst of it. 4 home runs in the last week.
Like he never left.
Yeah, and I think 3 of them were game winners.
Like he never left. yeah, the man is an MVP, and he was sorely missed.
Yeah, my God. I mean, what a difference it makes having him there instead of Darwin Barney or Chris Coughlin or your third baseman of choice, Russell Martin. yeah, I mean, he's come back, and it's like he never left. He's just been tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, he hit that game-winning home run, and then he was like, well, I'm not quite happy with where I am right now. What do you mean you're not happy with where you are right now? You're hitting bombs. Like...
I know. You've got 4 home runs in the last 6 games.
There's not like super bonus home runs you can hit for more. It's like once you get the ball over the fence, Josh, it's good. It's fine. But okay, whichever. another return after a brief absence, it seemed, well, brief compared to Tulo and Donaldson's absence, was Russell Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He was hitting really well before he had that. Is it arm problem? Is that what we're going to call it? Or neck problem?
It's his neck.
It's his neck. Okay. He has so many weird ailments.
It's still not healed, apparently. It's just better.
That's my least favorite thing about baseball players. I'm good enough to play. Okay. Most of the time, I would agree. I would disagree with that. I would say you need to be, 95 to 100% to play, not 70 to 80%. But I've watched Luke Maile hit.
You have? Most of us haven't seen that.
hey, we looked this up beforehand, and I'd like to point out some really weird things. I think Luke Maile is a creative player. But he's like 20 points short of being a regular major leaguer. And at some point, I think when he hit that second home run, that game, someone moved the points into offense.
The slider
from defense, and maybe they didn't notice how much it went down on defense. So what is he hitting this week? You told me 375
with a 375 on base percentage.
Well, no walks, that's fine. And what,
563 slugging.
Hey man, that's an OPS well over 900.
Yes it is.
So he's a 900 OPS guy this week. Unfortunately, I've watched 2 throws at second base be questionable is a generous way to put it. he almost threw
Did
one
he into errors on both of them.
No, he just only on one, I believe. One was the one almost into left field that Devin Travis was diving more or less towards first base, had no chance of making a tag, and then the other one was completely airmailed into center. I mean, like. 3 feet over the head of the guy backing up second base. I don't know what that was at all.
He did throw a guy out.
How slow was that guy?
No, it was actually a good throw. He actually made a good throw. Like, it's funny, we talk about this, like his perfect throws. he was throwing and catching great, and he couldn't hit. And like you said, they switched the sliders. They decided to want some offense. But yeah, it hasn't been so good lately for him.
It's a lot of pressure playing every day, I guess. But I was like, is this really the same guy? Well, whichever. we probably have a swing and a drive coming up in the next couple of weeks because we do want to have someone on to play that. I do have some Luke Maile clips, and Buck isn't even sure what to make out of a Luke Maile fly ball. So, stay tuned. So I believe this is we've got Liriano left, because Liriano was the other guy who came back who we haven't mentioned.
Yep,
that was good news.
It was very good news.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah, he did. He was really, really good. He only gave up 2 runs in the sixth when he was, you know, at his pitch limit, and he was his velocity dropped like 2 miles an hour in that inning. He was a little tired because he only had the 1 rehab outing. He was great. And his velocity was higher than it's been all season, which was also great. I wrote a little piece on this. Like I said, I like to talk about my pieces on here. It's the only thing I do. But but his velocity was better. It had been trending down heavily as he got towards his injury. So maybe he was injured before his last start. But it spiked back up, and it didn't get all the way back to what it's been. And he's still only topping out at about 95 miles an hour, but where he's normally like 97 or so, but he's still building arm strength. So it was a very, very encouraging start.
Yep. And the breaking stuff was working. It was fooling people, which is always key.
2 walks in 5+, which for Liriano is fine.
Yeah, well, how many did he strike out?
5, I believe it was.
So as long as you're above that classic 2-to-1 ratio, not the new school 3-to-1 ratio, I think Liriano's fine. People tend not to make too much hard contact. Tend not to.
Yeah. No, he was really good. So, hooray, welcome back.
Yeah, so we got 2 guys down and 2 guys back. That's about right for a week, I think. It's... That's the saddest team ever. As long as the people going on the DL equal the number of people coming off, everything's good. That's what we expect. We have questions. We had a few.
Just before we do, I just want to talk about Joe Biagini's start, too.
Sure.
He went 7 innings, and none of the runs he gave up should have scored. There was the 2 unearned runs in the first, I believe it was, because Tulowitzki made an error, which, you know, that happens. It shouldn't doesn't happen much, though. And then the third one scored because Darwin Barney's not a left fielder. I mean, but he went 7 innings with 1 earned run, which really wasn't earned, against the Yankees. And his ground ball rate is higher than Marcus Stroman's. He looks like a big league starter. And it's going to be really interesting if and when Aaron Sanchez gets back, what they do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you do?
We did have this question on the pod last week, didn't we? More or less. Who goes back?
Oh, you know what? We did talk about that. So we don't need to rehash that, but
it doesn't get any really easier when Biagini has another good start. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this, though. I mean, I thought he'd be good. I didn't think he'd be this good.
You're going to need somebody to fill some rotation slots next year, so be thankful he's this good. We have questions, which means I get to play this thing that tells us we have questions.
Time now to hear from our listeners.
That just seems silly.
Here are the rules. First, I ask a question, then you ask a question.
Now, how does that sound, sweetheart?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Almost.
I tried to stop it, and it didn't stop. Oh, this studio, man, with the millions of dollars of equipment I have in it, it's surprising it hasn't really panned out every single time. Your donation helps.
Fitting thing. First question from Brian A. at Big DSR. What Patreon reward level would I need to reach for you guys to eat pasta with it with mayo on it, like Justin Smoke?
You know, if you gave us $20 a month, I think I would have pasta with mayo on it.
Yeah, I could probably do it for that.
I mean, if we need to film it or whatever, we need to film it. I know the audio probably wouldn't really capture it.
Yeah, this is mayo, sure.
You must maintain that level for 3 months, as with most of our Patreon rewards. Luke at Split Letters asks, when is someone going to stop Ryan Goins' voodoo doll and its reign of terror? Surely something must be done. Would it surprise me in the least to learn that he had Joe Inglet's locker? No, it would not.
Did he?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
He's like, yeah, Joe's like, all right, my time's done, Ryan. I got a little trick for you.
What? You got to know that actually Mike McCoy would have been the middle guy, right?
Oh, true. These tiny no-hit middle infielders that share the secret for staying in the bigs.
There might be something there. Let's the I team investigates. We got to get an I-Team Investigates drop ready for a couple weeks from now.
Yeah. But it's crazy. Like, you know, like you mentioned with those guys, just never seem to disappear. Ryan Goins, every time it looks like his time might be running short. Another injury.
To be fair, most of the time, Inglet and McCoy actually got optioned somewhere. Like, there was paperwork filled out. Goins, he's stabbing that thing before that even comes up.
But he got optioned last year, so it's like, okay, the Magic is running out, but he's out of options now, so it's like, just bullet pins.
What do we got next?
From Quinn Sweetser. Of the following, which annoys you the most? Goins defenders, Tabler, Zahn, or My Dumb Questions?
Thoughtful of him to include the My Dumb Questions part, though I must confess that the questions are nowhere near as annoying as the three other things. I can ignore Goins defenders. I'm not actually that annoyed by Tabler in the sense that I'm ever offended by Tabler. I'm disappointed. So Zahn is my pick for most annoying. As much as I can mute Zahn, I look at his face and I'm like, I know what you're going to say and I'm not going to like it.
See, for me, I can not listen to Zahn pretty easily. But if I'm watching the game, I have to hear Tabler. And it's just like, oh, God. He adds nothing to the broadcast. Nothing. If it was just Buck by himself, it would be better. And that's saying something.
I agree, because it is the same cliched platitudes over and over and over again. And sometimes, while he's clicheing his way through whatever, he just plain isn't factual. He just makes some stuff up to fill time. But Zahn is still more offensive to me. This is from Zahir at Zeroid. If the 25-man roster played in a Mario Kart tournament, whom do you think would emerge victorious?
Ooh, I think it's Goins. He uses voodoo magic on the video game too.
I'm sure he'd be getting all of whatever shell it is that even if you're in first place, it kills you. The blue shell. I'm sure his cart is full of blue shells. Who was it who had one of the remote control cars? I know, like Alex Rios did, but wasn't someone running one of those around last year? Maybe that was Encarnacion.
I don't remember that, sorry.
I feel like anybody who can master a remote control real car would do okay at Mario Kart. Now I'm not 100% sure, but I'm with you. Ryan Goins is my guy, because he seems to have the cheat codes enabled.
All right. I'm going to give you the first crack at this one, because we have to talk about this on the podcast. We establish the rules. This comes in from Willie Mays Hayes. At Primo Pasta. I spelled Willie wrong, but that's we'll forgive it.
That's okay.
Favorite quotes from Major League. Go.
Are you saying Jesus can't hit a curveball?
That's definitely a good one. One of my favorite moments is the one like near the beginning when Charlie the GM calls up Lou Brown. It's like, how'd you like to manage the Indians? Like, gee, I don't know. Let me get back to you. Well, Charlie, I got another guy on the line about some white walls. Entire world. It's just so ridiculous. But I just love the entire Lou Brown character. He's the best character in any baseball movie.
The very first joke in the movie may be my favorite joke in the movie. Here's a bunch of players I want to sign up for the team. This guy's dead. Well, then take him off the list. Yeah, there's like a million.
So have you seen the original planned ending for that film?
Yes, I've read about it. She is actually the whole time trying to motivate them to get them together to gel as a team so they win the pennant.
Yeah, and she's basically doing Moneyball and getting all these players with talent that are, you know, but flawed so that she invented Moneyball, like the idea of getting flawed players that the market's undervaluing.
Yeah, except everybody in the test audiences hated that because she'd been built up as such a horrible person for the whole movie. There was no vindication in finding out she was really a good person.
Oh, it didn't work at all. Not even a little bit, but it's just really funny.
Yeah, Yeah, it's one of the, I don't know if it's a secret per se, but it's one of the things that you don't think about at all when you're watching that movie, because everything is makes so much sense the way it goes. Except for maybe Charlie Sheen's character getting slugged on the mound in the middle of a game, but everything else makes sense.
He doesn't get punched in the middle of the game.
Oh, is it right after the game?
It's right after the game.
Right after the game.
He thinks he's going to get punched during the game, but it's in the celebration that Dorn knocks him out or knocks him down.
If you haven't watched Major League and you're still listening to this podcast, I have no idea what you're thinking.
Go watch it. That's all we got. If you have not seen Major League, go watch Major League. If you're a baseball fan enough to listen to us idiots talk for 45 minutes a week, you need to watch Major League.
And not Major League 2 or back. No, the original Major League.
Charlie Major Sheen. League 2 has its moments, but definitely the first one.
Wesley Snipes, Corbin Burnson, strangely. And what, Tom? Who's the catcher?
Tom Berenger.
I'm like, I got the wrong last name. Me with a name wrong? Imagine that. Does that conclude all of our questions?
It does.
And now, what is surprisingly probably going to be the longest do-over segment we've ever done. Duh.
It almost worked before.
God, did he really just say that?
But we can try again, right?
Are you talking about a do-over, baby? Are you talking about a f***ing door?
We believe in second chances.
Yeah. Do I get a do-over on my audio?
We've got enough do-overs. Three is our max.
Three is our max. Shall we begin in the minor leagues and work our way up?
I like that plan.
All right. So a minor league team, and I have it up here because...
The Ogden Raptors. The
Ogden Raptors decided to have Hourglass Appreciation Night. I do not believe there were any timepieces in Hourglass Appreciation Night. Said promotion included a picture of three women in bikini slash, well, an illustration of three women in bikini slash bra tops.
So I'm going to read the original release.
Please do.
So after they say, we're proud to man, the home team hosts the Billing Mustangs, but the real thoroughbreds will join Raptors broadcaster AP Herald in the booth. Since August is the eighth month of the calendar year and an eight looks tantalizingly similar to an hourglass, be there a better way to remind the world that baseball needs no clock than to feature 18 hourglass-shaped color commentators?
Yes.
That's right.
There Stars are a million talented... better ways.
I'm not done. But yes, that's right. Stars Talent Studio of Salt Lake City will provide a different stunner each half inning, and the Raptors video will will video stream the broadcast booth. Well, at least a better looking half of it. Ugh.
All I want to go is, no, no, no.
It's, oh my God, what, it was so tone deaf. Like, what are you thinking with that one? Did you see that their apology?
Yes. What did you like least about their apology?
Well, it was just the clear garbage aspect of it. The Ogden Raptors regret that an unauthorized press release was disseminated over the weekend announcing a promotion that was not approved or scheduled by the club. Bull.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah. We managed to get all the way to announcing it on the internet and having flyers and having it go wild. Oh, that wasn't a real promotion. That was something else that we just, yeah. Like someone, what, had a sketchbook and mistakenly sent it out on the internet, like, on our website, and nobody noticed? What?
It's really, really bad. All around, just bad.
So, yeah, okay. First of all, women are not pieces of meat, obviously, to be compared to, because they're hourglass shaped. Like, I don't even know where to start with that. Second of all, you're filming in the broadcast booth so men can ogle them. Why would you do that? It's a baseball game. I'd like to watch the baseball game. I don't think that kind of content has any relevance at all. It's... Oh, so do over. Like, what do we even want you to do over? Like, I haven't even thought that far about it.
Just like really sit down and say, okay, is this a good idea? Have one person who's not affiliated with the team. Is this a good idea? And when the answer is obviously no, 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 cancel the idea and then go give your heads a serious shake because you came up with it in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Feel free to drop by the show and do that. I have 1 minute of audio for do-over number two, and please bear with me for the entire 1 minute of Mike Schmidt trying to explain himself on the radio and not helping his cause.
Okay, I'm curious when you look at Odubel, because that is definitely not the kind...
Sorry, one question, though. Is his name Odubel? Is that really how you pronounce it?
I actually don't know if it's Odubel or Odubel, but I assume that's actually correct.
All right.
And a play you were. He's rather undisciplined.
Almost exact opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you see that, is that a guy you can build a team around? Like, what do you see? How do you project him down the road, Mike?
My honest answer to that would be no, because of a couple of things. First of all, it's a language barrier. And, you know, because of that, I think he can't be a guy that would, sort of sit in a circle with, four or five American players and talk about the game, or try and learn about the game or discuss the inner workings of the game, or come over to a guy and say, man, you got to run that ball out, just can't be, because of the language barrier, that kind of a player.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good players whose first language isn't English who have been leaders of championship teams.
Yep.
Oof. Oof. Like, really, 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 really stupid thing to say. Like, okay. Now, in fairness to Schmidt, he did later on and say, like, look, yeah, I think he's a very good player and. You know, he could bat 1-2 on a championship team. And I agree with him. Herrera is not a guy you'd build a championship team around, but not because of the language he speaks.
No. Okay, the other really, really implicitly racist thing is that somehow he doesn't understand the game very well. Like, what? Because, yeah. On a team that is actually quite multicultural. There's 10 players who don't have English as their first language on the Phillies roster right now. And from what I understand, their minor league system is loaded with talent that is not American born. Why would you assume that Herrera can't understand or explain the game?
Yeah, especially because he can speak English. No, he's not good at English. Just like Edwin Garcia was not good at English, or at least not comfortable speaking English in front of reporters because it's not their first language. But it doesn't matter. These guys all know how to communicate with their teammates.
And they know how to play baseball.
Yeah. It's just like Mike, like just shut up, Mike. I mean, Mike, he called into the radio station too. And the funny thing is the interview that we just played, it started with this thing where it's basically a foundation for like skin cancer research and trying to get ballparks to put in places to get people out of the sun when it's which is great. This great thing he's trying to do to help people, and then he just devolved into that. It's like, oh my God, you should have stopped talking at the 8 minute mark of the interview, Mike.
Well, he revealed himself to be full of Schmidt.
Huh. Oh.
Yeah, well, I haven't got that noise out of you in weeks. Now. So Mike, if you'd like to come back, apparently he has apologized directly to Odubel. I think you should just apologize to Philadelphia in general. It's like, it was not helpful. Nothing you said could possibly have been helpful. That's the other thing. Would you build a championship team around this guy? No, I don't think he's a generational talent. No, I don't think he's old enough.
Yeah, oh, that's the thing. So later in the interview, he goes, like, he starts making sense. Like, just like, he should have started at this point. He's like, I think it needs to be, guys like Roy Halladay or unless it's someone else, I can't remember who it was. They're like perennial all-stars.
Yeah. Go with that.
Fine.
Mike.
Like, that makes sense. And he mentioned, like, Herrera has some inconsistencies in the field. Great. Don't start with his language.
Well, yeah. Stick to facts. How about that? But, not to be outdone, we have Jerry Remy commentating in a game versus the Yankees.
That was a relatively quick conversation. Larry Rothschild along with the translator.
Oh, that's what it was. I had that wrong. I thought it was the trainer going out there, but I forgot what Tanaka, they take out a translator. I don't think that should be legal.
Duh.
Seriously.
I really don't.
Jackie Bradley, 0 for 1. What is it you don't like about that?
What's missing there is him going, you racist, old, ignorant, but, you know, it's implied.
Yeah.
Learn baseball language, you know, learn, you know, it's pretty simple. I mean, you break it down pretty easy between pitching coach and pitcher after a long period of time.
The pauses.
It's still going.
I would say that probably, you know, they're concerned about nuance being lost in some of these conversations.
So that pause had to be 3 or 4 seconds of how do I bail Jerry Remy out from his complete idiocy?
I think that's all it was.
And he didn't come up with it.
I hadn't heard this. I hadn't heard this until you played it, until you sent it. Like two guys going off of the language, like, wow.
Baseball.
So this is basically what I was talking about. Like, I guarantee you Tanaka can speak well enough to his teammates. But when translation is so important and the words are important, they don't want to speak in a non-native language. How is that hard to understand?
It's not hard to understand. So there's two issues here that I take. Neither of those guys thought that anybody should make an effort to either learn Japanese or Spanish if they were going to bring that guy on the team.
Yeah, it's up for them to learn the language of baseball or whatever.
Whatever that means. Well, if it's really simple and there's only like 10 words you need to know, why not learn those words in Japanese and talk to Tanaka in Japanese and it's easier?
Bet you they have.
Yeah. Number two, I'm just as an example, if someone was deaf and they played baseball, and remember that that's the only reason we have umpire signs, funny story, is that there was a deaf player way back when who couldn't tell what was going on. Would you object to people speaking to him in sign language? Would you object to him wanting to communicate that way?
He has to speak the language of baseball, Greg.
Yeah. Which they specifically changed just so the deaf player could understand what was going on. God, would it be hard to accommodate? Oh, wait, we're already accommodating, and you want to take a step backwards, which hurts nobody.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, what is the complaint? Is it that, like, I can't even think of a fake one.
They might understand him the guy too well.
They're like, yeah, right, exactly. He's going to impart special extra wisdom. is the other guy out there giving him, like, a nail file while the pitching coach is talking? So he can, I can't understand. I can't even try to fathom a real reason why someone would have a problem with it.
Okay. So, yeah. Cheers to ignorance. If either Jerry Remy or Mike Schmidt would like to appear and tell us why you wouldn't want to help out someone who, you know, had a barrier to playing baseball, please come on the show. We'd love to hear your reasoning. Wow. Okay. So that's pretty much the depths. If anybody was thinking of doing something really stupid this week and wanted to appear on the do-over, I invite you now. You can take a break. You can take a week off. We can have no do-over segment at all. It's fine with me.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's been pretty bad lately. Oh, okay. That all said, I believe we're at the part where we have final thoughts. Do you have a final thought?
I do. So, this happened, just finished happening as we started recording. Scooter Gennett, today, entered the game with 3 home runs. He increased his home run total by 133%.
He hit 4 home runs tonight?
Scooter Gennett hit 4 home runs in a game. It was his first 4 home run week.
You know, I'm happy for him. But when that happens, do you ever feel it like it sullies one of those? Like when Philip Humber throws a perfect game, do you feel like it sullies the...
Or Dallas Braden.
Or Dallas Braden, yeah. The sort of the special moment that usually comes with one of those records. Like Carlos Delgado, Josh Hamilton. I don't even know all the...
Everyone else
guys
on the list is at least something of a power hitter.
Yeah.
Pat Seary was probably the least, but he had the 29 home run season on his record. less so with the perfect game, because that's a little bit fluky, guys just hitting balls at people. This is all you if you're hitting the 4 home runs.
It's unreal.
So adding Scooter Gennett, a guy whose nickname comes after a Muppets character, to the list. A little bit. Knocks it down a little bit.
You watch tomorrow. Scooter Gennett launch angle will be the most baseball search ever.
10 RBIs too. Second most RBI in a 4 homer game. Hard hitting Mark Whitten.
Hard hitting Whitten. At least you could rhyme that out to make sense. My final thought is also going to be about home runs. Albert Pujols hit his 600th home run this week, and I don't think anybody really noticed. And I don't know what that means for baseball, because I understand Albert Pujols is a Hall of Famer, but it's almost like something happened to those counting numbers, because it used to be sort of must watch for 3,000 hits and for Hall of Famers to reach these major milestones, and this time it wasn't. Like, there was a countdown on MLB.com, but it did not make headlines anywhere. So I'm curious to know the next guy who comes up on a major milestone like that, how that's going to affect things and why it got eclipsed.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that had to do with the fact that the Angels are terrible and Pujols isn't any good anymore. Like, if you look at the last guys to get there, they were still going. I mean, Jim Thome was not Jim Thome anymore, but he hadn't fallen off a cliff the way Pujols did.
But, I mean, A-Rod kind of limped into 600.
No, A-Rod hit 600 when he was still good. But he's also A-Rod. I mean, everything A-Rod did was magnified by 1,000 times. Sammy Sosa, same thing. They have the steroid questions. And I think that was a big part of it. People not wanting them to get to these milestones.
Yeah, but you can't say that about Pujols, right? Because...
But that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't as much of a story. It's just like, he's the next guy.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, though. Which one sounds better? He was the ninth guy to ever hit 600 home runs, or he has the ninth most home runs?
It's the latter, for sure. And he had that the day before.
Right, at 599.
Yeah. So just one more thing I wanted to say with my final thought, but I didn't get to get it out. The following players have never hit 4 home runs in a game. Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Ted Williams, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire. Player who did? Scooter Gennett.
Well, leave you with that. That means that I have been Greg Wisniewski at Coolhead 2010, and you have been Josh Howsam at Joshua Howsam, and this has been Artificial Turf Wars, episode number 60, and we will see you next week.